I sit here wearing three layers of lined jackets, feeling like some giant stuffed, useless ball of working class. There hasn't been an episode for a couple of weeks, not that anyone's noticed, but the reason for that is I've taken up some fucking work that no one in the marketplace wants to buy my labor in more of an, I don't fucking know, a service-based in knowledge capacity. So I'm working in a fucking warehouse making fireplaces, which means I have no time to do anything because I am also working my other job when I get home, usually, and my girlfriend is now working from home, and so I don't really want to have to come home from one job, have to isolate myself from her for about an hour to record this podcast, and then go off and do my other fucking job. She has to work on site one day a week, and so I'm trying to slip in doing some podcast recording then, because since I am doing a podcast to no one, that I find it a little bit akin to masturbation, in that I don't like to do it when other people are around. Or, if that's not possible, doing it on the bus. That's just a bit of a cheeky one. I don't jack off on the bus. You know? But of course you'd say that, wouldn't you? Okay. This is going to be a shit episode, because I've just gone on to Feedly, opened up a bunch of tabs of things that looked interesting. I haven't even read them yet. And let's get through it. You will be hearing about the information from this as I do. Here's one from The Age. Rat catchers say city's rodents going crazy, heading for the burbs. That's the headline, the burbs. I think I've heard a bit about this with New York. The rats are having a hard time with us not living our normal lives, being able to feed off our refuse from restaurants and whatnot. But let's see what's actually going on here. So, rats have taken advantage of the lockdown of many Melbourne businesses, dining at empty restaurant tables, nesting in closed Pilates studio, in a closed Pilates studio, and some even leaving the city altogether. The protracted COVID-19 shutdown of many of Melbourne's restaurants and cafes has deprived the city's rats and mice of many of their usual sources of food, and pest controllers have seen a surge of vermin in the suburbs. There's a fucking band name for you. Surge of Vermin. We are Surge of Vermin! Tim Klinick, owner of Pest Control Empire, said rodents had been forced further afield as city eateries shut down. Cafes and restaurants is where they usually get their food from, he said. I just feel like that needs an accent. Cafes and restaurants is where they usually get their food from, he said. But with the bulk of them closed down or restricted takeaway, it's a bit light on food at the moment. So he's pushing into suburbia. I don't think I need any more. That's doing some good reverse pyramid there, Mr. Liam Mannix. So we will move on to the next one. You've probably seen this already. This one's from Junkie, though. The internet is showing support for the workers who calmly dealt with Bunnings Karen. So there's probably three articles deep into this whole thing, I reckon. Because right here, top in popular. Melbourne Karen refuses to wear a mask at Bunnings, films herself yelling at staff about human rights. So that's the initial news. This is a response one. We're going to have a lot of... I can see people milking this for at least the rest of the week. Good thing this probably happened on a Sunday. So let's see. The last few days has given us ample opportunity for this, because they skipped the opening paragraph, it seemed pointless. First came the video of Eve Black, a Melbourne woman who slammed for refusing to answer questions at a coronavirus roadblock. Still managed to get through. I didn't hear about that. Then came the Queensland truck driver who refused to provide his details and said, asked police, "Am I a man?" To which the officer probably replied, "It's 2020, mate. What do you identify as?" That's your real, like, libertarian boomer response. They're like, "Am I not a man? I have rights." Up until recently, most of these interactions have been between sovereign citizens. Yep, those are the ones. And police officers who are tasked with enforcing public health orders. But since Victoria introduced mandatory face masks, we're also seeing regular people having to hold others accountable. Enter Bunnings Karen. You can... the only good thing about the internet is it's the language has developed to such an efficient shorthand. You just say Bunnings Karen. Everybody probably already knows what's going down. Bunnings Karen does not want to wear a face mask. She's decided to take a stand against those who are in breach of the 1948 Charter of Human Rights. That is probably something she read about in a fucking Facebook group and has not done any further research. So, yeah, this article, this is how you can tell it. This is the shitty first draft. Looking at articles I haven't even read, because this is pretty much just a bunch of fucking tweets in response to Bunnings Karen. Bunnings Karen, of which we can already infer what that is about. Moving on. Here's one where I have read an article about this, but not this article. This one's from The Register. I just like the headline of this one. "No, boss, I'm not playing Minecraft. Minecraft is where I run VMs on the desktop now. Game mod pipes VirtualBox into virtual blockputers." So this one is that, yeah, someone's come up with a mod that allows you to pretty much run a pretty arbitrary virtual machine inside Minecraft. And so, of course, they did the compulsory proof of concept by playing Doom inside Minecraft, inside your own computer. So that's a mod. You can do that. People have tried to do other things. Apparently, computers aren't quite at the stage where you can play Minecraft inside Minecraft. But it's getting there. And this is far beyond the Redstone engineers who made a processor powerful enough to run Pokemon. Oh, just kind of... I don't know what the fuck that was, like a burp thing, I don't know, fuck it. So, look, that one's just interesting, not quite even at the stage where you could use Minecraft as your interface for virtual machines, but it's a nice idea. Alright, here we go. Student sues Australian government over the financial risks of climate change. It's the first time a climate change case has been brought against a sovereign nation, according to experts. This is a wonderful performative bit. I doubt anything will come of it, but I figure someone has to do it. Here we fucking go. So it says here, let's start with the opening. 23-year-old student is suing the Australian government over climate change, claiming that they failed to disclose material risks of climate change crisis to those investing in government bonds. Interesting angle there. Kata O'Donnell, a fifth-year law student at Melbourne's La Trobe University, is leading a class-action lawsuit against the federal government in what experts say is the first instance of a climate change case being brought against a sovereign nation. So, fifth-year law student, 23 years old, which means that she jumped into university as soon as she finished high school and has been there studying law for 5 years. So where does that put you? Like, honours or some shit? I guess those investing in government bonds... That's probably the angle you'd have to take, because no one gives a shit about the ethical implications of climate change. You tie it to something financial, and the sort of thing that you could probably get away with suing the government for in any other context, and you might just get something out of it. Let's have a quick look through here. The lawsuit filed last week accuses the Australian government and Treasury of breaching its duty by not disclosing the risks of global warming to the material value of investments. Rather than asking for damages, however, O'Donnell's appeal demands that the government ramp up its climate change policies and stop the marketing of bonds until they provide the relevant disclosures. So that could work as well. So you don't want them to pay you anything. You just want to get them on record actually fucking acknowledging climate change. So then they have to do something about it. Experts have noted that the Australian government has the power to do more than just disclose the risks, however. It can also control and mitigate them to some extent by legislating climate change. That's what I just fucking said as well. I'm not even an expert. Whether or not O'Donnell's lawsuit will prompt them to do either is unclear. So, yeah, look, this is just one of those things that people do to try and make a point. See what happens. I hope it do, but we'll have to see. Just this picture was making no sense with the article, so I was trying to figure out what was going on there. Still on high alert, Premier PM plead with BLM protesters. I'll quickly go over this one because I found a much more interesting article on this. So, New South Wales residents have been urged to stay away from a Black Lives Matter rally planned for Sydney on Tuesday as the state's COVID-19 outbreak continues to grow. The New South Wales Supreme Court blocked the protest on Sunday amid concerns about COVID-19 community transmission. I read about this, and I was like, how the fuck did they make a decision on this on a Sunday? And this sort of links back to how, yeah, like with all this, it feels like it was ages ago. It was probably only last fucking month. They let a bunch of libertarian sovereign citizen boomers have an anti-5G protest, and then were considering blocking the BLM Aboriginal Death in Custody protest. And because of that precedent, that's what this feels like, is another political move in that space. That they say they're worried about the spread of COVID from these protests, but they really just don't want anyone to congregate and bring attention to it. Now, I'm not going to dwell on this one too much, because we've got another article here, which I think is a good twist on things. Black Lives Matter rally will be cancelled if New South Wales reinvestigates Indigenous death in custody. So, this was about name of deceased Aboriginal man here coming up. David Dungay Jr., who was murdered in a Sydney jail in 2015. He was held down by a bunch of correctional officers. He screamed out that infamous phrase, "I can't breathe," a couple of times, and then they finally completed their murder on him. So, as mentioned before, the New South Wales Supreme Court, pretty much just the New South Wales government, does not want this protest to go ahead, and they're like, sure, we'll do that if you investigate this murder that you've covered up. So, look, that's interesting. That's a good way to play things. That's a good ultimatum. We'll have to keep an eye on that. When, you know, I need something to fucking do while I'm watching machines cut discs out of sheet metal. So I'll be on Feedly every now and then looking at that. Okay, Coronavirus Australia. This one's from The Guardian. Victoria reports record 532 new cases and 6 deaths. That's just must be today, because we had 10 deaths over the weekend, like on one of the days in, as New South Wales reports 17 cases. So, yeah. COVID-19. We're fucking everything up. Everything's fucked. That we thought we got out of it, and we got ahead of ourselves, and now they pulled us back in. Is that how it goes? I don't think I haven't watched that Godfather movie. Australia has recorded the highest number of COVID-19 identified in a 24-hour period in Australia to date, with 532 new cases announced by the Premier Deirdre Annuals on Monday, along with 6 more deaths of people aged in their 50s to 90s. This is just, we've gone back into stage 3, we've put the masks on. How bad are things that case numbers keep going up in terms of, like, daily transmission? I don't expect that we just stop getting new cases, but it's that we're still getting new cases at an increasing rate. How many people going around undiagnosed are there? There's a lot to this article. A lot of quotes from him, which, like, who really cares? He fucked up all the shit with the hotels and the quarantine, subcontracting out the security to people who then subcontracted it out again, like 3 times deep. So people with no training, who thought it was all right to have sex with the occupants, got in there. Then that's what spread things. Tried to blame it on, is it Eid? Is that how it's pronounced? Eid celebrations. Tried to divert blame with bungled lockdown of the commission towers. The fix your shit, Fucking hell. All right, here's another one. This one's from the New Daily again as well. Sydney toilet paper brawlers found guilty. We'll have to look at some quick dates here. Yep. Sydney magistrate has likened a coronavirus-fueled stoush over toilet paper to a rugby league bust-up as he found a mother and daughter guilty of a fray. Oh, wait, hang on. Health worker 23, daycare operator 61, have been sentenced over an altercation with another woman at a store in Chirola on March 7th. Okay, so that's the mother-daughter one. They straight up just tag-team another fucking woman. Can you imagine being fucking 61 and getting in a fight at a supermarket over toilet paper? It just goes on to more details. Grabbed one of the 8 36-roll toilet paper bags from their trolley. So that's what the other woman did. Screaming people. Liken it to a rugby match. Got an embedded tweet here. Holy fuck, it's got 1.4 million views. When your usual grocery shopping at Woolworths turns into a toilet paper fight at the supermarket aisle. Adela Biini? Is she like a journalist? She's got a blue check mark. So, yeah. God, that's one of those things you almost forgot it happened, didn't you? And when I saw that, I was like, was it another one from the current lockdown? Because the court, you know, I was like, the court doesn't work that fast. But, yeah, here we go. I really should have ended with the rat one, because I don't have any super great articles to round out. Here's a sad one. Fleetwood Mac guitarist and co-founder Peter Green dies age 73. That's quite young to die these days, but he probably did a lot of drugs. I haven't listened to any Fleetwood Mac. I would not call myself a fan. However, as another article came up to which... Oh, there's a picture of it there. There's something I have a bit more interest in, is Kirk Hammett owns his Green Les Paul, which is the picture of it here. That what Peter Green tried to do was he was trying to do some mod to it, and I think it was the one where you make it sound more like a Stratocaster instead of a Les Paul. He didn't actually have the technical knowledge on the wiring of guitars to make that work, but when he was putting the guitar pickup back in, that he put it in the wrong way around. And apparently, what that does is, with the pickup selector, when it's all the way on the bridge position, it sounds like it does normally. All the way on the neck position, it does. But when it's in the middle position, it gives it that Stratocaster twang. And there's a picture of it here, and you can quite distinctly see it, that the screws on the neck pickup, which usually are facing the neck, are facing towards the rest of the body. And now that guitar is in the possession of Kirk Hammett, who paid a lot of money for it, apparently. It may have been in the realm of millions. I think Van Halen may have owned it at some point. I don't think he did. It got passed around a fair bit. But Kirk Hammett called up Jimmy Page and was like, yo, should I buy this guitar? And Jimmy Page was like, yeah, man, buy that guitar. And all the famous guitarists just know each other. And apparently they just buy guitars off each other as well. Be nice to be in that life. Here's another one from the Register. Australia sues Google over data collection practices that emerged double-click data to create single-user profiles. Alleges opt-in that promised more control actually sent more data without informed consent. Google strongly disagrees. The Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, ACCC, has hauled Google into the nation's federal court for misleading local users, quoting here, to obtain their consent to expand the scope of personal information that Google could collect and combine about consumers' internet activity for use by Google, including for targeted advertising. And just to really drive that fucking point home, my Google Assistant lit up on my phone as I was reading that up. The pop-up notice that Google sent to users starting in June 2016 was titled "Some New Features for Your Google Account" and said, "We've introduced some optional features for your account. giving you more control over the data Google collects and how it is used, while allowing Google to show you more relevant ads. But the ACCC says that notice was accompanied by a change to Google Australia's privacy policy, which prior to June 2016 said the company will not combine double-click cookie information with personally identifiable information unless we have your opt-in consent. The ACCC alleges that after the pop-up appeared, the policy changes say, depending on your account settings, your activity on other sites and apps may be associated with your personal information in order to prove Google services and the ads delivered by Google. Yeah, this is a problem. I'm pretty invested in the Google network infrastructure environment. I got a lot of their shit. I got a Google Home Max. It sounds really fucking good. I know I shouldn't have it, but it sounds so good. I'm probably the only person that actually pays for YouTube Premium. I actually have it. I did it for this music streaming. And I was like, fuck it, I'll just pay a little bit more. Get YouTube Premium. No ads when we're streaming stuff on the TV. And then I upgraded to the family account. So my dad, who's retired and just watches videos on YouTube all day, doesn't get ads either. But yeah, so they collected more stuff. Use DuckDuckGo instead of Google. I should take my own advice with that. It's no good. It's no good. How did this... Well, I reckon the reason why Google got so big is because they came out of Stanford, which is where the internet was pretty much invented and was done so, you know, for the military. So there's probably a bit of stems back there. That's all the articles I got. Let's round this out on something a bit nicer. Two things. We'll start with this. In the intervening weeks that I've not done an episode, I've gotten really into watching VTubers. I can explain. It's more that I showed them to my girlfriend, and she got really into them. So we've been watching a lot of those videos, and my YouTube feed is just all these VTuber translation videos now. So, yeah, better than seeing the other stuff that can propagate on YouTube. I listened to one fucking lecture about postmodernism, which turns out to be done by this fucking, like, Ayn Rand Atlas Society thing. Fuck, my phone's ringing. That could be a job interview. Fuck. Gotta get on the... Why does this cursor go back to the fucking start when I hit record again? Nope. It was not a potential job interview. It was about the NBN connection here, which has pretty much just been permanently put on hold. But no, it doesn't seem like anyone wants to buy my labor to do anything more than operate an oscillator that turns metal discs into cones. So I was talking about VTubers. That, yeah, we've just been watching them. The translation videos, they're funny. They're wholesome. Some of them are horny. Pretty much all of them are a bit dumb. Just put like HoloLive or VTubers into YouTube. Stuff will come up. Watch a couple of them. Get some favorites. We get suggested times of when they're actually, like, they're doing their actual streams. Actual streams don't have subtitles, so they're not super useful. But it's still interesting just to check out what they're doing. And, yeah, the interesting thing is that they're all good. They're all funny. They're all best girl. And it's a bit of something for us to bond over, at the very least, with all this shit that's going on. VTubers. Pleasant distraction from how fucked up everything is. Alright, the other thing, this might be like a bit more of an official launch episode, because I finally have some fucking artwork for the podcast, which means I can go on Apple Podcasts. This has really just been on the website up until now. That was done by a friend of mine, Kathy. Her Instagram, a lot of other stuff is like Mindless Wanderer. We'll link in the show notes. So, yeah, check it out. She got made redundant because of all this COVID shit. So, yeah, she could do with the freelance work. If you like the artwork there, do, you know, hit her up. And I guess there's a round out thing. I've registered to do shit for the Fringe Festival, so I'm going to shoot all that. It's pretty much going to be bits I was going to do at the Comedy Festival. Put that into my own self-produced special, and then you can watch this bootstrapped exercise in narcissism. I'll try to actually promote it beyond a podcast and newsletter that goes out to no one when it gets closer to things. But yeah, I should actually shoot it and put it together first. All right. Oh, and I bought some more MIDI gear, so I might actually finally do a fucking theme song for this thing. All right. Catch you later.